O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors.
That the King of glory may come in.
Who is this King of glory?
The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors. Who is this King of glory?
The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Palm Sunday reading is from John chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that all these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you're gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." This is the word of the Lord. We're going to try the hymn here.
Thank you.
prayers. You may be seated. The Passion reading is from John chapter 12, beginning at verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there heard it, said that it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of the world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law and that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Normally, the intro is the first thing I do. It's the first thing I come up with. There's something that strikes me as theologically worth meditating on during the week. But the only subject in the last month has been a virus. And if you push it back another month to February, when we heard the letter from a Wuhan pastor, it's been much longer. Much more pondering of this feels a little too much like navel gazing. But there's a bit of a connection that I'll offer. The texts over this last month from John, the man born blind, Lazarus, they've all been about the ways of the world versus the purpose of God. And behind that, they have been about temporal things versus eternal things. The disciple of Jesus is to develop ears and a heart for eternal things. In the midst of plague or in the midst of profit, the world offers temporal temptations, things to worry and fix your mind upon and your body upon at the expense of the eternal, at the expense of your purpose. The call of Christ is to hear the voice that calls beyond thee. The voice that stilled the waves, that opens sightless eyes, and calls the dead out of their graves. And to live and to walk in that city that is now here, even though it has not yet fully been built. So slamming the palms and the passion together in one service works best if you're reading from this gospel according to John, like we did this morning. Because John builds a direct comparison between the two. The Palm Sunday procession is a kingly entry. It's a hero's parade. And while we might be jaded enough by our televised spectacles, for most of the time, everybody loved a parade. From Roman generals receiving triumphs to American astronauts getting ticker tape parades. This is how the world does glory. You do something great, and you get a parade with lots of people thronging in the streets. If you stood against the one being paraded, you might be paraded behind them as an object lesson, what not to be. And this is exactly the picture that John paints of the triumphal entry. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and the word has spread far and wide. So when the man who raised someone from the dead comes to Jerusalem, they throng the streets. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. This is the glory of the world. And we should remember the phrase, sic transit gloria mundi, thus passes the glory of the world. When everyone is yelling for you, remember at least two things. First, that glory fades fast. Today, here, and tomorrow, nobody remembers your name. And second, that nobody remembers your name might be the best outcome. A lot of people thronging your triumph today might be doing so under the peer pressure of those crowds. Like in the Soviet Union, you didn't want to be the last person or the first person to stop clapping. Or like the Pharisees lament to Jesus' entry. You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. The world is fickle in its glory, but everybody loves that parade. Jesus, with raising someone from the dead, is so popular that even some Greeks come and ask, we want to see him. There's a very pious, traditional way of reading that, and that would be the signal that the Jews would not accept Jesus as the Messiah, but that the Gentiles would. And you can continue with that. But when I read it, I think that this is the symbol for how big this Jesus act has become. But it's become this big, this full of the world's glory, for the wrong reasons. Because Jesus' next words are, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." What are you talking about, Jesus? You're the biggest thing in Jerusalem. We just glorified you in the biggest way we have possible. The whole place came out for your parade. But to Jesus, that isn't glory. What comes next is glory. What comes next is the glory of God. And what is that? Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. If you want to know what God glorifies, you have to look at the way a person dies or the way someone spends their life. Whoever loves his life loses it, but whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Just in case you think I'm overstating or overhyping the difference, but for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then that voice from heaven comes and says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The voice of the Father calls out from the sky and says, what comes next is how I glorify. And what comes next? When I am lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all people to myself. He said this to show them what kind of death he was going to die. What comes next? The cross. So you have the world's glory, a parade, and you have God's glory, the cross. And even with a voice from heaven pointing this out, everybody hates this. Who is the Son of Man? We've heard that when the Christ comes, the King, he's here forever. Jesus, we like you, baby, but we gave you a parade. Stop talking about the cross. And the pressure was so great that he departed and hid himself from them. And the evangelist's summary of this is to compare Isaiah, the writer of the suffering servant hymns, to the crowds of Jesus' day. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. But the authorities and the Pharisees, even though many believed in him, didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to give up their nice places. They didn't want to miss the parades. They loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. The palms are completely appropriate for Jesus. He is a king. And that's what the world does for kings. But fame and the glory of the world are poor short-term substitutes for the eternal glory of the everlasting God. What God does is give a purpose, a vocation, a call. For Jesus, his purpose was the cross. Jesus came to die, to defeat sin and death and Satan. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. Jesus wasn't suffering from FOMO, fear of missing out. He wasn't unable to commit because he wanted to keep all of the various different paths open. Jesus wasn't trying to save his life in this world. He was going to spend it. And he spent it pursuing the glory of the Father. He put it down such that it would bear much fruit. And the start of that fruit is you and I. The start of that fruit is the lives that we choose to live. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Almost every day, we have this type of choice before us, I bet. Are we willing to pursue the glory of the Father, which probably means some personal hurt, a noticeable lack of parades, or are we like the Pharisees? Jesus is an honorable teacher. I kind of believe in him. I'd really like to believe more, but I don't really want to be put out of my club, my job, my social group, you name it. I like the glory of these things more than the honor of the Father. That seed falls on many types of soil. The hard soil never even hears it. The rocky soil hears it and likes it, but as soon as this type of choice comes up, they fall away. The thorny soil hears and grows for a while, but it never produces fruit. The cares of the world choke it out. The world does present a big hurdle. The world is always offering its glory in some form. Forget that Jesus, what he wants is too hard. Stick with our plan. The seed that is fruitful must fall to the earth. The fruitful disciple must know that they have to die to the world's glory. We all have a call or a vocation or a purpose for which God has put us here. There are good works that have been placed in advance for us to walk in. Most of them are not the way of sorrow that Jesus walked, thanks be to God. But we are called to follow and to serve Jesus. This is why we have been put here. Do we ask God to save us from this? No. Instead, we should pray, may your name be glorified. One example, although maybe not specifically Christian, but I saw an interview with a Dr. Bill Fisher. He's a former astronaut flew on the space shuttle Discovery. He's now an ER doctor. He is 74 years old and shared that he has 3 comorbidities. He's working shifts, even though, as he said, his risk is probably higher now than it was when he flew that spaceship. And remember that 2 of them blew up. People questioned him about this and pushed him, and his response was to abandon ship during the greatest public health crisis of our lifetimes is inconceivable to me. A ship is safe in harbor, but that's not what ships are for. That Christian life is the start of fruitfulness. The glory of God in this world is the cross, but the honor of the Father is eternal life. Christ bowed his head to mortal pain to take up his power and reign eternally. Christ rode in lowly pomp to die so that he could triumph over captive death and conquered sin. And this glory has been given to us. When we pursue the way of Christ, we're walking towards the resurrection. The glory of the world, that parade route, just ends. The end of a parade, at least for me, has always been a little anticlimactic. I guess that was the last float. But the glory of God is something that never ends. The Christian life buds and grows and even flowers now, but it is brought to this full fruitfulness when this mortal body is put down and we take on immortality. What kind of glory do you want? The grass crown of the world's parades or the eternal crown of the glory of God? Amen. Follow with the Kyrie. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Let's join together in prayer. Lord, has taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we'll confess our common faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
In the day of my trouble, I call upon you.
For you answer me.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Because your steadfast love is better than life.
My lips will praise you.
For you have been my help.
And in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Unite my heart to hear your name.
I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart.
And I will glorify your name forever.
May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you.
May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great.
Save your people and bless your heritage.
Be their
shepherd and carry them forever. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. We'll join together in the collect of the day. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Are there any prayer requests that I haven't collected yet?
For my brother who's suffering some health.
Brother suffering health challenges.
Brother Mark,
you said? Okay. We've had two of those. Okay. Let us pray. We pray for Michelle Moore and friend's wife, and another friend of Mike and Maureen, and friend's wife here from the screen, who both have breast cancer. One I know who is waiting for surgery. We pray that you may grant healing and peace, even if it's in a time of delay. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for Mark, that he would have your healing and peace. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for Dottie, who has been released to hospice care. We pray that she would also find your peace and that her health may stay. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for Heidi, a friend of the Zajax, who is in the medical field, who is on the front lines. We pray that you would keep her safe and allow many people to be gifted by her skill. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for Alan Rowe, who I just heard this morning has gone to the hospital. We pray that you would also give him healing as well and give him some good news. Eventually here, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all of those that have lost their jobs over the last few weeks. We pray that you would grant relief to the situation. And we pray that you would relieve your hand in the situation and allow people to continue to be able to afford family and everything else. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all of the rest of the medical establishment. We pray that you would bless their work and keep them safe and healthy. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the government, that we pray you would grant them wisdom for all of these things, that they may so guide and lead us through it, and that we might be healthy and together at the end. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray for courage in the midst of plague and trouble and strife. We pray that your peace may be with us, that we know that your care is always for us in Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. And I'm going to join in a very old prayer. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong and nothing is holy, multiply your mercy on us, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's join together at the morning collect. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray you that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless us and defend us from all evil and bring us to everlasting life.